We are here to answer your gardening questions, and so you can give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. And I think John Denver is coming in right now. There we go. He's starting. He's picking up the guitar. No, I can hear it. Okay, we have the Friday the 13th shenanigans on Saturday morning. That's okay. We have Guy and Shamar here this morning. Lizzie has the day off. And so I'm just going to go into the dirty word of the day. And the dirty word of the day is rose. Oh, here we go.
Now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
Okay, you got it. The dirty word of the day is rose hips. The rose hip, or also called rose haw and rose hep, is a fruit of the various species of rose plants. It is typically red to orange, but ranges from dark purple to black in some species. Rose hips begin to form after the flowers are pollinated in spring and early summer and ripen in late summer through autumn. Roses are propagated from rose hips by removing the achenes that contain the seeds and sowing just below the surface of the soil. The seed can take many months to germinate, and most species require chilling, germinating after two winter chill periods. Rose hips are used in bread and pies, jam, jelly, marmalade, syrup, soup, tea, wine, and other beverages. Rose hips can be eaten raw like berries if care is taken to avoid the hairs inside the fruit. These hairs are like nettles, and they are actually used to make itching powder. A few rose species are sometimes grown for their ornamental value of the hips, such as Rosa moyesi, which has prominent large red bottle-shaped fruits. Rosa macophylla, Master Hugh, has the largest of any readily available rose. Rose hips are commonly used in herbal tea, often blended with hibiscus. An oil is also extracted from the seeds. So dried rose hips are sold for crafts and home fragrances, and wild rose hips fruits are particularly rich in vitamin C and carotenoids, beta-carotene, lutein, and lycopene. And so they've done human studies examining the potential for rose hip extracts to reduce arthritis pain, concluding that there is a small effect requiring further studies. So rose hips is the dirty word of the day. And I love seeing them in Florida. We don't necessarily see a lot of them, but it's I think they're a beautiful part of the rose. And so,
hey Teresa, where are they native to?
Roses?
The rose hips.
Rose hips are native to the roses, anywhere where we grow roses.
Okay.
Okay.
Very cool.
And so roses are native to China. And so that's where they come from.
Very cool.
So let me go through my text messages, because I have Christine in Cairo, Georgia, and she has a really interesting question. I love her gumption. And she says, I have two royal poinsettias that I grew from seed. Because of our winters, I have them in 15-gallon pots. Can I trim them as they get taller? And what time of the year is best? And she said, thank you. Well, thank you, Christine, for listening in Georgia. I do appreciate it. I'm really so impressed that you're growing royal poinsettias from seed, and they're in pots. And so I would suggest that it depends on how you want to showcase your royal poinsettia. If you have two and you're going to put them on side by side, you can grow them as kind of topiaries with the trunk of the royal poinsettia tree, which is going to stay small, coming up, and then at, you know, 3 to 4 feet, 5 feet tall, you can kind of keep it cut in a globe shape. Okay, so that means that anything underneath, you would just remove the stems underneath the main canopy. Or if you just want to keep them in pots and have them spread out, because they are a beautiful canopy tree, that if you wanted it to be 3 to 5 feet, then I would keep limbing it up so that the tree gets taller, but that you're cutting it straight across and having the branches shape out. Okay. Now, when I say cut straight across, I don't necessarily mean for you to cut the branches straight across. I want you to cut them diagonally, but you can keep clipping the top off so that the top of the Royal Poinciana stays at 3 to 4, 5 feet tall, whatever you'd like to keep them at. So really great question. What time of the year to do it? I would do it in the early spring. So I would do it probably mid-February to March. You can go ahead and trim it. And you can take off branches underneath anytime. Okay, so if it starts to sprout on the sides and it's underneath the top of the tree, then you can take those off any time of the year. All right, but I would clip it off or keep it pruned back. I would do that in the springtime. Great question, Christine. I love the idea of that. And so, Ira, thank you for the picture. I'm looking at your grass right now. So Ira says, good morning, T. My lawn has a patch of dead grass. I sprinkled anti-insect granules thinking it was grubs, but there are no insects. Not sure what is going on and how to fix it. Any ideas? Well, Ira, hang on there. We're going to tell you what you can do for your grass. And I have Jay and Kissimmee. We're going to be talking with you too as well. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you do not get Better Lawns and Gardens on your local station, please ask them to carry it. If you only get 1 hour of it, I hear from a lot of you that listen to it on Sunday mornings, but you only get 1 hour. You can listen to the entire show on iHeart Podcast, iHeart Radio. You can get it, download it for free. Audio Boom, Apple, and wherever you hear podcasts, just Google Better Lawns and Gardens or Teresa Watkins, and I pop up everywhere. So I have a new segment in the first hour, Teresa's Top 5. So if you didn't hear that, you can catch it on the podcast, betterlawns.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. So I do appreciate that. So we have some really great text messages. So Ira's next, and his lawn has a patch of dead grass, and I'm looking at a picture of it, and he said he sprinkled insect granules on it. Well, you know, you got to figure out what's going on with your lawn or your landscape before you use any chemicals. So, Ira, you need to check because this actually looks like it's take all root rot. And it looks like it's rotting, which means you need to put a fungicide on the good grass. Now, that grass is not going to come back, Ira. And so you want to just scrape it out. Dispose of it, and then you can just turf that area in, just lay new sod or plugs in to it. It's St. Augustine grass, but I can tell because when you widen it out, I can see the dead grass underneath the good grass, so it's kind of rotting, and I see really dark brown patches of really thick, it's not thatch, but it's decomposed grass. So it's take all root rot, go ahead and cut it all out, put in new sod, and start over again. But you don't need to be watering your lawn right now, okay? We're going to see a lot of disease and fungal issues over the next few months because of this rainfall we got. And in first part of the first hour, I talked about the totals of rainfall. In the first 14 days of the month, the first 2 weeks, Orlando has gotten over 19 inches of rain. We don't get that in a matter of 2 months, never mind in 2 weeks. So turn off your irrigation sprinklers and let Mother Nature do her thing. Jay in Kissimmee, he says, I never get any fruit from my loquat that's 6 to 7 years old. Hardly any growth. Many leaves turn brown. It's funny that my star fruit tree produced a month early this year. It's covered with fruit and it's flowering again for a second crop. I normally get 4 crops a year with a total of 1,000 fruits. And way to go, Jay. I'm so impressed. That's great. And my other 2 trees are getting fruit for the first time this year. So I really like your show. Starfruit is really a prolific producer. And that is amazing that you're getting that many fruit trees. And so what's going on with your loquat? Well, first, I want to make sure that it's in full sun. Make sure it's in full sun. And I don't know how tall it is, Jay. So I can't tell you whether this is normal or not. But if you've had it for 6 to 7 years, it's pretty established. And it should be over 10 to 12 feet tall by now. So I would wonder if you have taken a soil test, what kind of fertilizers you're using on it, and see what the issue is. It's got to be something that's, you know, keeping it back from producing. But if it's only 3 to 4 to 5 feet tall and you've had it for 6 to 7 years, there's something going on there, okay? So you can take a picture of it and send it to me, teresa.watkins@live.com, or you can, just text me back. Now, we can't take photos on our text pages, but let me know how tall it is. That'll help me understand it a little bit more. 1-888-455-2967 if you're in the garden area. We'd love to hear from you, whether you're in Cairo, Georgia, California, North Carolina. You can give us a call wherever you're listening from. So this question, so I have Jeff in Zone 8. He says, I have an 11-year-old pomegranate tree that blooms profusely every spring, but it's never set a single pomegranate. I'm in Zone 8 and have very sandy soil. Any suggestions to help bush set fruit? Love your show. Thanks, Jeff. Jeff, thank you for listening to the program. I so appreciate it. Okay, so what variety of pomegranate do you have? So there's, about 20 different varieties of pomegranate, but some are just ornamental. They just have beautiful flowers, and they will never set fruit. Okay, so you got to figure out if you have a non-producing pomegranate variety, okay, which means then they're just not going to bear fruit. Pomegranates are self-fertile, so that's not the issue. Do you only have one? If you only have one, you're still going to get fruit. You do not need to have a male and a female. If they're producing a lot of flowers, that's telling me that your soil is fine. Okay, so it's producing a lot of flowers, just not setting fruit. So I would enjoy it as a beautiful reddish-orange flowering tree and look for fruitful pomegranate varieties that you can plant. It seems you're doing all the right things. And so, Jeff, I did email you back, and I sent you Anita's publication on pomegranates. So thank you for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and so I appreciate it. So Cara in New Smyrna Beach, she says, I live in New Smyrna Beach, and I have two areas in my yard that I want to try growing sunshine mimosa as a ground cover. Both areas in her yard are what she calls dirt bowls. Can you suggest where I might be able to purchase seed for such a project? Both areas are relatively large areas. Well, Cara, welcome to Florida. Dirt bowls in some areas is the norm. We have really great sandy conditions here in Florida, which means that digging in the dirt is not bad. So it just means it doesn't have a lot of organic material in the ground. But sunshine mimosa does take sandy soils, but you can't buy it in seed. Okay, so it spreads by cuttings, and so you can buy 5 or 6 plants. It will cover your yard within a few seasons. By the second year, you should have coverage on both areas. So purchase 5 to 6 plants at your local nursery. And you do need to consider that sunshine mimosa goes dormant in the winter, Cara. Okay, so you're not going to have anything growing in that area during the winter time. So you might want to think about putting some kind of grass down or some kind of other ground cover down. And I'm not really coming up with some good ideas except for Bahia grass. And it's a little late in the season to start planting Bahia seed. But you can go ahead and wait till spring, put down the sunshine mimosa and some Bahia grass seed, and it should look beautiful. And it will cover it in the spring and summer and fall. Okay, so thank you for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, Cara, and emailing me. John in Central Florida, he enjoys the Saturday radio show on WFLA. Thank you. What is this weed grass that's coming up in my yard? He has zoysia grass, and it started this year, and it seems to be popping up around. He cuts his own grass, but his neighbors use a lawn service. He has tried spurge power, no effect. Roundup works, but also kills the zoysia. Yeah, you don't want to use Roundup. on yours, Worship. And but he couldn't add a picture of the grass weed. It spreads via runners. It's broad-bladed grass. I don't know unless I can see it, John. So I did email you back. I gave you a link to go ahead and send me pictures. As soon as I get a photo, John, I'll be able to help you. So then Rick and Kathy in Longwood said, when should a thrialis bush be trimmed? And thrialis is a, this bush gets very brittle when it approaches 6 feet tall and full of yellow flowers on a wet, windy day. I trim them to a couple of feet tall in spring. By hurricane season, they become 5 to 6 feet of heavy, sweet-smelling, beautiful yellow flowers. She hates to trim it in bloom, but they break if I don't tie them or stake them. There must be a secret to keeping them full of flowers but under 6 feet tall. It's almost impossible to trim them like a square hedge and still produce tons of color, but would like to control them somehow. So thanks for all you do. Well, I appreciate you emailing Rick and Kathy. Thank you so much. I don't get too many questions about thrialis. So what that means to me is it's a pest-free and easily growing plant. It flowers beautifully. It's a great question, though. I would say you can cut them back in the springtime, cut off any winter damage, February, first part of February, March, but then cut them back again to 2 to 3 feet tall in August. Only cut them twice a year, and you'll still have lots of blooms for the summertime and through winter. Golden thrialis blooms will continue to shower your garden. They are brilliant. They add cheer and beauty year-round. Butterflies love them, and they add a touch of magic to your garden. I really, really like them. I like them in the background of beautiful cottage gardens, and I like to use them in pots and in containers. And so cut them in the springtime, February, March, which is here in Florida, February, March, and then cut them again in August, and then leave them alone. Now, if that's not enough and you're getting them spread, then they might be the wrong plant in the wrong place. They're going to get to be 5 feet tall, and they're going to spread out to about 4 feet wide. So if you're having to cut them more often, I would think about moving them. And right now is a good time to move them with this rainfall we're getting. Temperatures aren't so hot, and it's a really, really good time. So Rick and Kathy, thank you so much. They're in Longwood. If you have a gardening question, now's the time to give me a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. We're coming up on a hard break. The newsletter is out. If you'd like to receive the new newsletter each month, it's free, and I don't spam. You only get it one time a month, and you can. I give you my design tips, the dirty word of the day, what's going on in your yard, and then also to landscape malpractice, how to know when to fire your landscaper, and you can get all these great links of what to do in your landscape and everything that we talk about here on Better Lawns and Gardens. And so, if you have a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me at 23680. Colette in Winter Haven, great. We're going to have to keep you over to the break. I'm going to get her first when we come back. And we appreciate that. Lizzie's out for the day. We have Guy and Shamar here helping, and they're doing a great job. And Lizzie, we'll see you next week. She's going to have a wonderful day today. And so she is fine. The powder puff mimosa that I was talking about is a wonderful native for your yard. It's native, low ground cone, and it attracts butterflies too as well. So powder puff mimosa is a great one. So we're getting all these calls, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. And you can hear Better Lawns and Gardens wherever you listen to podcasts. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. And this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. you have a gardening question, we have wonderful, we got plenty of time to talk with you and get you through your garden dilemma. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me 23680, like Lynn in Winter Park. And Lynn, if you will go to my website, www.she-consulting.com, you can sign up for the newsletter on the front page. And you can go ahead and if you want to text me your email address, Lynn, I'll go ahead and get you the newsletter for last month. All right. And so great follow up. So Jay says that his loquat is about 10 feet tall. It's in full sun. He's not sure what kind of fertilizer to use and how often to fertilize. You should be fertilizing your loquat tree, if you'd like fruit, Jay, every 3 to 4 months. Okay. And you can just use a regular 666, 888, 10-10-10. You could also use slow release fertilizer for fruiting trees. And then that'll reduce the amount of times you need to fertilize. But yeah, definitely. And also get a soil test and see what's going on in your landscape. And you can do that at your extension office, or you can do it online. Amazon has a great soil test, Agritech, and that you can go ahead and get that and send it into your extension office. I wanted everyone to go on our Facebook page and like us, give us 5 stars. That would be really helpful. But if you go to Better Lawns and Gardens, you will see a picture of square waves. No joke. Am I joking, guy? I am not joking.
No, it's crazy.
It's crazy. These waves are square, and it is a natural phenomenon, and it happened at Anna Maria Island. And so you can see pictures of square waves. It's just freaky. And but you know, you can just go onto our Facebook page and like us and give us 5 stars. We'd appreciate that.
I would not get in that water.
No, it says don't get it. It's really, really terrible. So the whirlpool, like Shamar was saying, would probably be real dangerous. Let's go to Colette in Winter Haven. Good morning, Colette. How can I help you?
Good morning, Teresa. Thank you. I love listening to your show.
Thank you.
I have, for the first time, I decided to try planting some seeds in seed pots for my garden.
Okay.
And I've got broccoli, and I did some Roma tomatoes, cauliflower, cucumbers.
Okay.
And they all sprouted much faster than I expected.
It worked, huh?
They're in a screen porch that faces north.
Uh-huh.
So the stems got to be about 3 or 4 inches long with 2 leaves on the end. Uh-huh. And, of course, they keep following what light they
get.
Yes,
yes.
And I keep turning the trays around so they bend the other way.
Yes.
But I'm wondering, how long should I wait before I go and transplant them straight into the garden? Because they're really lanky.
Yeah, I would do it now. Go ahead and do it now. What you're seeing is heliotropism, and it's just going to follow the sun. But are the seed pots the biodegradable ones, or are they plastic?
Most of them are biodegradable.
Okay, so yeah, go ahead. Now is a great time to get them in the ground. You're doing a great job. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Good for you.
And so should I plant them a little bit deeper to absorb some of the long, skinny stems?
No, plant them at the height of where the soil is. Just plant them at that height.
Okay.
Okay? You're doing it all great.
All right.
Let me know how you do.
All right, great.
All right, hon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to Eileen in Polk County. Good morning, Eileen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good.
So you gave Lizzie the day off.
She stuck it on the calendar, and I did not know, but she's good. She's going to have a wonderful day. So
yeah,
her and Brooke.
She needs it.
She does. She works so hard.
Yeah, for the time she puts in during the week.
Oh, of course.
Anyway, I have a question about my lantana.
Okay.
I planted it in the wrong spot.
Okay.
And it is huge.
Yes.
How am I going to get it out of the ground?
Okay, do you have a spot you want to plant it in?
Yes, I do.
Okay, dig it up.
Good luck.
Is it only one lantana and it's like 5 feet wide?
Yes.
Okay, well, go ahead. You can dig it up, but what I would probably do is go ahead and just root prune it. So go ahead and stick the shovel in all around the base of the roots and cut them, but don't take it out of the ground yet. Don't cut it underneath. Cut it on the sides all the way around. And you can go ahead and whack that lantana back, too,
yes,
as well.
Yes, yeah, so I've done it before.
Yeah, but I would do it. I would whack it back now and then cut it out in a couple of weeks.
Okay. That's what I'll do.
That'll be easier for you to transplant, and it'll handle it better.
Okay. Also, my hibiscus that I was talking to you about, I got the fertilizer for it. It stopped dropping leaves, but they both need to be cut back because, well, that one needs to be cut back because it's long and leggy, but it has flowers on it.
I know. Well,
so should I cut it back?
Well,
or not?
I would just wait a just wait a week. Those flowers are going to bloom within a week to 10 days. Go ahead and let them bloom and then cut it back.
Okay. All righty.
All right, hon. Thank you. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you for your newsletter.
Oh, you're welcome. Do you like it?
Oh, I love it.
Oh, thank you.
I absolutely love it.
All right. Well, that's wonderful, Eileen. Thank you. You made my day. Appreciate you, hon.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. We don't have time for Tom. Tom, hang on. You've got a great question. He's in Merritt Island. If you'd like to give me a call, we still have a few minutes for the show. We got about 20 minutes. Call 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. And I have someone in Tallahassee that's asking me about the milkweed parasite-killing monarchs. We'll talk about that. All right. And so you can go onto our Facebook page and like us. Okay. That's Better Lawns and Gardens on our Facebook page. Give us 5 stars. Make us feel really good. We really appreciate all of our listeners out there. And we love when you get a hold of us. And also, too, my newsletter comes out once a month at the beginning of the month, and it is free, and it tells you what to do in your yard each month, what the current events are going on, if there's anything serious going on that you need to watch out for. My design tips, I give you a design tips each month, and then also my plant of the month. Lizzie has a column in it. She tells you all about her garden adventures with her grandson and the turkeys, and is Gerald going to make it to Thanksgiving? We don't know. We're all pulling for Gerald there. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Let's go right to the phone. Let's go to Tom in Merritt Island. Good morning, Tom. Thank you for your patience and holding on.
Yeah, good morning. So I grew cowpeas this summer for the first time, and actually I just was removing them because I'm going to do my fall planting. And I've had I'm curious as to what kind of bug this might be. So I do have aphids and flea beetles, and I know what to do with those, but some of the immature seed pods hanging on the vines or on the plant, it looks like someone has taken a razor blade or a surgical knife to the side and cut it, and all the seeds are removed. And otherwise, the green pod is hanging there. And I'm wondering, what bug does that?
I've never heard of that before, Bill. Or Tom, that is so interesting. Do you have a picture of it?
No, and I've, if I see it, I actually dug up most of my cowpeas yesterday. I still have some red cowpeas out there. If I see it again, I'll take on the red cowpeas, I'll take a picture of it. But I'm planning to remove those because I got to do my fall planting.
Sure. Oh, no, I appreciate that. No, I'll look it up and talk to Tom and see if I can find out something from him. I'll check it out and I'll talk about it next week, okay?
Okay, fine.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Let's go to Bill in Orlando. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. I beat you to it. Good morning. Hey, I've got a stubborn problem with sedge. We've got zoysia. Mm-hmm. I've had applications of image and sedge ender, and no success. What would you suggest?
what I suggest is that doing it during the summertime, it's not going to be effective. The sedge is, you know, stronger than your zoysia grass, and you're going to damage your zoysia grass. You really should not put down any herbicide. It's not going to be effective when the temperatures are over 85 degrees. And then on top of it, the rainfall that we're getting is kind of diluting it. So I would wait.
No, I've done it in the spring.
Oh, you've done it in the spring. Oh, okay. Yeah. There you go. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, that's good then. I would switch the herbicide. So what are you using? What did you use in the past?
Image and Sedgender.
Okay. Are you saying Sedgender or Sedgehammer? Have you tried Sedgehammer?
Sedgehammer, excuse me.
Yeah, and so I would just alternate between those two. So whatever you used last time, in October, I would use the other one again. And then you might want to think about putting down a pre-emergent too as well.
Okay.
Keep on keeping on.
All right. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Alternate them. It is very stubborn, and it gets to be a pain, but if you could alternate it, or if there's an area where it's, you know, completely like a 10 by 15 area, you might just want to dig it up and just put new sod down. That might be your cheapest and most effective way to get rid of it.
I think you're right.
Okay. Thank you so much, Bill. Appreciate you listening.
Have a good weekend.
You too, hon. Bye-bye. Let's go to Frank in Brooksville. He says, we have bush daisies that have gotten so large, they're starting to collapse. And he says they're about, 2.5 feet wide and 2 feet tall, but leave their perennials. Can we cut them back now? Yes, you can go ahead and cut your bush daisies back now. Okay, good time to do it. I would do it in August and then February, March again. Susan in Tallahassee says, how to get rid of spurge and redo our lawn taken over by spurge. Well, kind of the same thing. You want to just use an herbicide in the fall, October, broadleaf herbicide, and follow the instructions. More is not better. And if you've got, you know, 75% of your yard, spurge should be a little bit easier to get rid of than the sedge, though. So, Susan, go ahead and just use an herbicide in October and make sure the spurge broadleaf weed killer should do the job really well. Colette in Winter Haven says, forgot to ask if I should harden off seed pot plant before planting in garden. They're on the north-facing screen porch and do not get direct sun. No, you do not have to harden them off. Okay, go ahead and get them out there. They'll be fine. Rob from Christmas says, I have a plumeria that is 10 feet tall. I'm worried about the next frost. I won't be able to cover it. Should I prune it? If so, how and when? I don't want you to prune it, but you could get frost blanket. Okay, get frost blanket. It'll be in the stores for sale. You can get it online now. But in the nurseries and in the box stores, it should be on sale at Thanksgiving time. Get the amount of frost blanket to cover and wrap around the whole plant, and it should be just fine. Okay, you don't need to remove it. And, you know, the plumeria, frangipani, even if it does get zapped, it will come back. Okay, so, but I would get frost blanket, have it on store, and you can use it. And you don't need to unwrap it every day. It can be left on through the winter time, and then just taken off, folded, and used next year. Okay, frost blanket is a really good choice for those of you who have tropical plants. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. Go on to our Better Lawns and Gardens page. We would love to do that, and like our page, and you can also send questions on the page. You can see all of the comments. I will have the show posted there. If you've missed any of it, then I can go ahead and you can see what was talked about in the show, and you can always listen to it on podcasts. Now I'm trying to get my mouse to move. We have had such issues today with the thing. All right, so let's see. Lynn in Winter Park, I don't know if I mentioned this. She wanted to know how to get subscribed to the newsletter. If you will go ahead and go to www.she-consulting.com, you can go ahead and sign up free for the newsletter. I do not spam, and I give you a lot of information each month. And also, I'll be answering your gardening questions there too as well. And you can find out more about my garden tours, artandbloomgardentours.com, and check out all the different areas that I go to. Oh, thank you for the reminder, Guy. Hot peppers, you can go ahead and plant them right now. They will last all the way through winter if we have a warm winter, which we're supposed to this year. We're supposed to have a warm, wet winter, and they should do just fine. They will freeze, though, but if you plant them now, you should have peppers before Thanksgiving, and then you can go ahead and make good use of it right there. So thank you so much for that reminder. Also, too, I'm making notes of what I have to find out for next week. Here we go. Somebody called to complain about their homeowners association not knowing what to plant. Let's see. Good morning. Our neighborhood is beautiful, but they don't understand combining plant colors and textures. Right now, they put beautiful yellow orange crotons behind red pentas. What would go better with the red pentas that are easy to care for and don't die with some Central Florida cold days? They're in the Lake Brantley area. Partial sun several times a day. Thank you. Leaving radio. So they've already gone to their 9 o'clock appointment. I hope they check back. I would put something green. Red and green are complementary colors. It'll make the red pentas show up beautifully. And so I would either use split leaf philodendrons. I would use green ficus. I love green island ficus. It only gets to be 3 to 4 feet tall. It would look beautiful behind the pentas. You could also use kunties, cardboard palms. You could also use podocarpus. You can use that. And then also, too, what else would go well with it? All of you are shouting ideas out at me. Also, too, the thryallis would do nicely, too, as well. The yellow flower of the thryallis, those primary colors of red with pentas, bright yellow primary colors. And then also, too, the plumbago would look nice with it behind the red pentas. You could also do white pentas and then blue pentas with the red, and you have red, white, and blue. That would be incredible. I would like that. So then I have someone who says, what are my ideas about the milkweed parasite killing monarchs in Northwest Florida? I'm in Tallahassee and wondered if I should take precautions. They are asking if you will go to Audio Boom and look up my May 4th show. May 4th, we have a whole conversation about the milkweed parasite. Okay, audioboom.com, go to May 4th, the hour, and you can hear all about my thoughts about the monarch parasite and what you should be doing, okay? Guy, Shamar, thank you so much. We appreciate you being here. Thank you for letting Lizzie have a day off.
No problem.
All right. And
my pleasure.
Oh, just love that. Both of you guys listening to that voice, that's wonderful to wake up to in the morning. And so we do appreciate it. Thank you to all our callers today. We had a lot of information, a lot of questions asked. I do appreciate it. You guys are the best. We have the best audiences, and I do love being here, and I love answering your gardening questions. If you missed any of today's show, you can go to betterlawns.com and you can hear it again or anywhere where you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much. Stay dry. Turn your irrigation systems off. Remember, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's mosquito bits and mosquito dunks and year-round oil spray. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.